distractions our way to let us know this is me telling you this, you know, wake up. But you have to be alert, I guess. You have to have your antenna up, or you can miss those things. So thank you, Paula, for mentioning that. Yeah. Yeah, could we give thanks to those that are in children's ministry and do that so faithfully? We appreciate you. Thank you. Okay, thank you for sharing that today. All right, when I was growing up, and we did not live in the best neighborhood, I can tell you that, there were often times that my parents didn't lock the door. I mean, even at night. And I've talked to others that said, yeah, that was our experience too. We almost never locked the door. I mean, we wouldn't dare do that now. We buy insurance for our cars, our house, our health, and our life. I mean, cities have police and fire departments, or at least the same ones, you know, don't want to defund the police. And we pay taxes to the federal government to raise up an army to protect us from foreign invaders. But we also need spiritual protection, and that's God's job. We're going to look at a famous story in the Bible this morning, one that children, I'm sure, look at many times, Daniel in the lion's den. I want you to see how God protects his own. And the truth is, we face a lot of lions ourselves in this life. And we need the assurance that God's got us. The story we're going to look at is in Daniel chapter 6. You will find that by the time of this story, Daniel is an old man. He was taken as a teenager into captivity from Jerusalem in Israel all the way to Babylonia, which would be modern-day Iraq. He distinguished himself early on, even in his late teen years, as a person of character and valor. And he rose through the ranks of government and actually became one of the top three government officials in the entire empire, which shows me that God can use his children, even in so-called secular positions, to do his work. The other leaders were jealous of Daniel's favor with the king, so they tricked the king into signing a law that made it illegal to pray to any god other than the king for 30 days. Imagine being a king and accepting such a thing to be signed into law. And imagine to be a citizen and have to obey that law. The Antichrist will do something similar to that someday where everyone will have to worship him. But for a month, Jewish people could not pray to their God. And if they did it outwardly and were found out, they would spend the night in the lion's den. Well, these evil leaders knew Daniel's character, and he was a man of prayer. They also knew the king's big ego and that he would be susceptible to such flattery. And once that law was made, it would not be able to be changed until it expired. So the leaders caught Daniel praying and reported this crime to the king. And so the king immediately realized he'd been duped. But rather than save Daniel, he saved face and ordered him thrown into the lion's den. But the king, it says in Daniel 6, could not sleep that night. He had a guilty conscience. Better to be a faithful Christian in a pit than to be an unfaithful king in a palace. And at dawn, the king rushed to the lion's den, and he uttered a question, which is our text for the day, Daniel 6:20. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And then Daniel spoke up. He answered the king's question. And that same God of Daniel, that delivered him from the mouth of the lions is the same God you serve today. Two things I want to point out from this verse about our great God. The first is his power. He is able. You notice Darius did not ask Daniel if he was strong enough to withstand the attack from the lions. He didn't ask Daniel, are you somehow wise enough or clever enough or smart enough to outmaneuver or trick the lions somehow? He knew that Daniel was helpless and could not do anything. Those lions aren't called the king of the jungle for nothing. It wouldn't matter how strong Daniel was or how smart he was. He could not have survived their jaws. Lions are very powerful animals. They will knock an animal over with one swipe of their paw, which is the equivalent of being hit with a sledgehammer. Their jaws, their teeth and claws are very sharp and powerful. But there is one lion who is stronger than the king of the beasts, and that is the lion of the tribe of Judah. That king knew that only one God could save him, and that was Daniel's God, and he did. There are things that only God can do for you. Your strength is going to fall short. Your wit, your cleverness, your smartness will fail you. But God can give you the peace that will help you go through the most painful of circumstances. He can heal your broken heart that no other human, no matter how hard they try to console you or help you, falls short. We want you to be able to look back at your life and note the places where God was there. He carried you. He was your strength and deliverer. And that leads me to the second point about our God in this verse, his deliverance. Now, I used to think of this story as a miraculous escape from the lion's den. But think about it. Daniel really didn't escape. I think of the Jewish people who escaped from Pharaoh by going through the Red Sea. But this was different. Daniel didn't escape the lion's den. God protected him through it. He didn't take him out of it. And that's often the scriptural way. Noah went through the flood, but was protected through it on the ark. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It would have been nice if they never had to go in the fiery furnace to begin with. God maybe could have delivered them somehow. But they went through it, and God delivered them in it. And that's my conviction about the future, that no matter how hard times get, and I do think they're going to get harder, God will be faithful to deliver us through it. We usually want to get out of that bad relationship, whether it's in our family or work. And we pray, God, deliver me from this. But God would rather take the problem out of you than take you out of the problem. Instead of delivering you from the situation, he wants to deliver you from your fear or your restlessness. His plan is to work patience and forgiveness and peace in your soul so that you can have the victory. And that's the pattern I see throughout Scripture over and over again, and that God wants to do in your life. But what does Daniel's experience have to do with us? Isn't it just a fantastic story and a wonderful children's lesson? Well, I think there are some things that we can see from this story that are applicable to us because we face lions too. Let me give you some lions that each and every one of us as Christians face or will face. The first is Satan. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Are you alert today? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, which could be you if you're not alert. Peter knew this very well from being in Rome. He knew that many Christians were thrown to the lions by Emperor Nero. In fact, Peter himself was martyred for the faith by being crucified upside down. Peter also had firsthand experience with how cagey Satan was. He tricked him, pressured him into deceiving Jesus, and Jesus said that this was going to happen. He said, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, Peter, and he did. In the Lord's Prayer, the newer translations rightly translate it, deliver us from the evil one. The older translations say, deliver us from evil. But we will face evil, and we might not be delivered from it, but we are delivered from the evil one. Jesus said in John 17:15, "My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one." And God will keep that promise to you. Jesus knew how hard it would be to undergo severe temptation for his disciples because he underwent it in the wilderness for 40 days where he was tempted by Satan. He didn't want that for his disciples. So he said, pray that you won't succumb to the temptations of the evil one, because he knows that the tempter's jaws are very powerful when they clamp down on us. The Bible says that when a word of God comes, the enemy often comes in behind it. Matthew 13:19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That is the seed sown along the path. Jesus said that the evil one, Satan, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And C.S. Lewis talked about Satan as having hunger, a kind of hunger that wants to attack the believer and cause his or her faith to tremble. Though even though the evil one roars like a lion and seeks to devour you, he flees at the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah. God will deliver you from the evil one's den. Here's a second thing that we face, a lion that we face, and it's sin. I'm going to change the analogy a little bit and use cobwebs, because I see a lot of spider webs and cobwebs at this time of the year. You probably do too. And that's a good analogy, I think, for sin. If there was only one slender web, a bug flying by, you know, it might be hindered a little bit, but it would just keep on going. It can break through one strand. But when a spider web has all these interconnecting strands, it becomes very strong and also very sticky. And the bug flies into it and is caught. And then the spider pounces on that bug and eats it. And so it is like that with sin in our lives. One sin done one time, that's not so bad. We can break that and get free. But when it's habitual, when it's over and over again, we just keep succumbing to that same sin. It gets so powerful and binding in our lives that we seem trapped, and the spider or the enemy comes along and eats us up. It might be an outburst of temper in your life that is like the roar of a lion, or alcohol or drug addiction has torn families apart like sharp claws, or lustful thoughts bring up a lion of sinful actions. Our tongue sometimes, out of control, roars like a lion. And so, the truth of the matter is, though God is stronger than any lion, any sin in your life. Now, I imagine myself, I try to put myself in Daniel's shoes. When I was thrown into the lion's den, what would I do? And I thought the first thing I would do was close my eyes. You know, I'd be afraid. I don't even want to see what's going to happen next. And I think Daniel closed his eyes too, but not out of fear, but in prayer. And those lions became as harmless as lambs. I think our problem is with sin is we give up too quickly. Almost as soon as the temptation comes, we just surrender to it and give up. Fight it in prayer. Stand on the word of God and begin immediately praying to God that he would deliver you and help you. You know, it was prayer was the reason why Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And I believe it was prayer was the reason that got him out of it, because he prayed to a great God who would deliver him. A third lion that everybody faces is sickness. We are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body, at least the New Testament concept of the human being. In other words, we're interconnected. I don't know about you, but do you have a great prayer time the day you're very nauseous and throwing up all over the place? I don't. I mean, you just get so distracted about your body and your physical limitations that your spirit almost just like shrivels up and you can hardly pray and read God's word. And Satan knows that. So he wants to afflict us with various injuries, accidents, sicknesses to hinder our walk with God. But don't let it stop you. The Bible says that when you're sick, call for the elders of the church and let them anoint you with oil and pray over you. I remember many years ago doing a funeral for a 39-year-old pastor's wife with three children. She died of pancreatic cancer, which we all know that's a ferocious lion. Now, she wasn't healed in this life, but she experienced the ultimate healing, and her witness touched many lives. At her funeral, there were accounts of doctors and nurses and hospice workers and friends and family and visitors to the hospital that spoke glowingly of her walk with Christ and how God was glorified in her life. She didn't even have a scratch on her testimony and on her faith and on her witness for God. And the fourth one that I'm going to mention is persecution. The Bible says that believers will face persecution. Two places in the book of Acts. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. And Acts 14:22 says, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Most of us have not been tortured for our faith. We've not suffered in a physical manner for our faith, but many have. Historian David Barrett says that about a million a year are suffering for their faith right now. And I think we're going to see that ramped up more in America in the years ahead. And no matter what happens, that God is faithful. He will be by your side. But you know what? I don't want to diminish what we do go through here, that there are believers that do suffer for their faith right here and now. Maybe it's with an unbelieving spouse. Perhaps it's co-workers or fellow students that mock their faith. Well, God will strengthen you. He will use whatever persecution you're undergoing to make you more like Him. And when you suffer, in some ways, use it for good. God has allowed it for the purpose of you helping others. 2 Corinthians 1:4 tells us, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Now, I'm going to give you 4 points of application from this story. Is it just a nice story? Is it a kid's story that's in the Bible? Or is there something from this story that we can take away from this story to apply into our lives? I want to pray as your pastor that Daniel's experience will work through your life spiritually. The first way is I pray that it would increase your faith in Christ. Darius wasn't very confident as he came to the lion's den. He asked the question in a weak way, in a feeble way. It's like he had his doubts. Daniel, was your God able to help you and save you from the lions? Do you think Daniel shared his skepticism as he answered that question? I don't think he did at all. Hebrews 11:33 says, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. Daniel had faith in his miracle-working God that he could shut the mouths of those lions. Missionary Hudson Taylor says, lack of trust is at the root of almost all our sins and all our weaknesses. Our faith is just so small. Matthew 13:58. He, being Jesus, did not do many miracles there. Why? Because of their lack of faith. No wonder we live in defeat when we're unsure that God loves us and has the power to make a difference in our lives. So I think the Daniel story teaches us that we should have supreme confidence in an all-powerful God and His ability to deliver us in any circumstance or situation. A second thing that I'm praying for you would be an increased courage for Christ. Someone said, courage is the power to act well in the face of danger. We just don't want to be in danger to begin with, but we will. And so we could summon up the courage to act well in the face of it. Daniel had the courage to defy an ungodly law. Right now, my new hero, I think, is John MacArthur, who pastors a large church in Southern California in the Los Angeles area, and how his church has defined what I believe is an unconstitutional law that forbids Christians to gather and meet in that city while other things are still open. And we might be faced with that dilemma again someday ourselves. But we aren't being persecuted for praying, yet we don't pray. At that restaurant we go to, why not bow your heads and offer a prayer right there publicly? Why not share your faith, not only with your family and friends, but with maybe that waitress, right? We fear what others think about us. So I don't think in any way we should be obnoxious, but ask ourselves the question, where's my courage? So I pray that this story of Daniel can inspire our courage for Christ, and also that it would increase our humility through Christ. Imagine going through that experience of the lion's den. Wouldn't you feel like you would want to tell everybody about it? And you should have seen me. I was marvelous in there. You know, I rebuked those lions. I stood there and I shook my fist at them. And I prayed, and it was my prayer that saved me. No. Daniel took no credit for this miracle. Even the pagan king didn't give Daniel any credit. He gave the credit to God. And so any power of God working through your life, any holiness of life that you're seeing, any answers to prayer that you're seeing, isn't because you're such a great prayer warrior. It's because God is so great and powerful. Paul likened himself to Daniel in 2 Timothy 4. Here's what Paul says. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. I love Paul's faith there. Paul didn't say, I delivered myself, but I was delivered. Paul found his strength in Christ, and he said in another book, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And the last thing I would pray for you today would be an increased dedication to Christ. An increased dedication to Christ. Darius calls Daniel the servant of the living God, and he adds, whom you serve. Now, this is no empty compliment. He knew Daniel very well. He knew his faith was strong. He knew his character was good. And he admired him. In fact, he had put him into a position, a high-ranking position of authority, because he trusted him. But when that law was made, Daniel had a decision to make. He could have compromised. He could have just thought in his mind, look, I could take a month break from praying. I do a lot of praying. He could have prayed silently, couldn't he have just prayed in his head? Or he could have went into an interior of the room of the house and prayed on his knees out loud, and no one would have seen him, no one would have heard or noticed, but he didn't do all that. He continued his regular practice of praying by the open window on his knees out loud to God. Well, Daniel's loyalty to his God made a huge impression on the king. Look what he says a few verses down from the one I read earlier. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. And I thought, is there anything in my life that is causing unbelievers to say something like that? Do they even know that you're a servant of God? If being a Christian was a crime, would there be enough evidence to convict you? So before we close in prayer, I ask you to examine your life, and I will too. You feel like you're in the lion's den right now, undergoing some kind of temptation. Are you struggling with some sin in your life? How about sickness, weakness, persecution? Whatever it is, God is able to deliver you. And know this, that He's also able to deliver you from hell. He can save your soul and give you the free gift of eternal life. 2 Peter 2 says, if this is so, the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials. Let's pray. Lord, as we take a moment here to examine ourselves before you, as your word says, show us if there is any wicked way in us that you want to forgive and cleanse today, if we confess it and receive your power. If we're in a situation where we're being persecuted, deliver, Lord. Deliver us through it. Strengthen our faith through it. Sickness, Lord, would you heal anyone that is sick today because you're compassionate and you are good? And Lord, we know that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. May it not be us. Lord, because our faith and trust is in you, you are our God. You have our backs. In fact, you have our fronts. You're all around us. Surround us, Lord, with a wall of flame. Keep that enemy at bay, Lord, from every believer, I pray today. Father, thank you for this story in the Bible that inspires us of your great power. And you are the same God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we put our faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.